Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. I am so glad that you are with us today. This is a bonus session that we are doing for the Homegrown Generation Family Expo, and we are with Peggy Ployer today. She is the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. She's a leader in the special education homeschooling community and a frequent writer and speaker on the special education homeschooling issues, as well as host of Sped Homeschool Conversations, a weekly talk show about special education homeschooling. And Peggy, I am so glad to have you on today. We have had you on the Schoolhouse Rocks podcast. You and I have met in person, and you are just such a delight. And so thank you for joining us today. I really wanted to have a session that was really geared toward homeschool parents who are dealing through the issues of having children with special needs and special education, because oftentimes parents don't know what direction to go. And many times, I know you've heard it just as I have, many times parents feel like they can't homeschool because the state has told them, well, you know what, we have these special classes for them. We'll take care of them if they have special needs, and you can continue on with your other children. And you are here to tell parents that is not always the case. There are so many options available. So I am going to turn it over to you, Peggy, and I'm going to let you just be a great encouragement to all those who are listening and watching.
Well, thanks, Yvette, and thanks for this opportunity. I am really excited about this because just for you and the audience to know, if you were to come to me struggling, this is what I would say to you. We would sit down and have a cup of coffee, and this would be the conversation I would have. Unfortunately, it's a one-sided conversation mostly, but but I hope you get a lot out of this, because I have been consulting with parents who have been homeschooling special needs kids for almost 15 years. And I've been on the other side of that phone and heard a lot of the same questions. And so I wanted to address those main questions and those main concerns that that I get, and just give you some confidence. You can do this. Yes. I graduated two already.
I love it. I love it. You come with experience and knowledge. So
definitely.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you take it away and bring the encouragement, and I will join back up with you at the end of your session.
Sounds good. Thanks. Yvette. Well, hey everyone. So I'm going to cover basically five topics that, as I was thinking and praying about this, what would I say to someone who really needs to be encouraged? They really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm called to do. But I feel like there's no way this is going to happen. Well, guess what? I was in your seat when my oldest was five. He's now 22. So you can do this. You really can. And the thing I want to focus on first, and sometimes the thing that we skip over, that's the most important in homeschooling, just in general, not even if you have a special needs child, but a lot of times it's even more grave of an issue if you do have a child who struggles, is it's your relationship with your child. Because I, at least this is what I found, is that in trying to push my child, because I knew they could do better than what they were doing in school, and it caused a lot of fraction and friction in between our relationship. And homeschooling didn't start out on the best foot because we didn't have trust. We didn't have a relationship that was honoring and that put me in my child's eyes as an expert that could teach him. And so if you find yourself in that type of situation, don't start homeschooling right away. Don't start instructing right away, especially with the curriculum. Establish that relationship first, because I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship or received instruction from anybody. If you don't trust them, you really don't listen to what they have to say. And so, so that's why a lot of times we talk about de-schooling and taking a step back and taking the school out of the equation and really focusing on what our relationship is with our child, as also what learning really is and how much fun it can be. And during that time of de-schooling, you actually can grow closer to your child, grow closer bonds, and they will start trusting you more, and they will receive your instruction better once you've done that. We almost feel like it's a waste of time to take that time to set aside and say, you know, we just got to get to school. I've got to get my child caught up. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Don't worry. They will go at their own pace. They will learn the way that they learn when it is meant to happen. And you aren't going to make it go faster by skipping this step. You're actually going to make it more difficult for both of you if you don't work on that relationship first. And so some of the things that I've talked to parents about is establishing honor. And honor means that I respect you and my child then respects me in return. And sometimes that meant I put on superhero costumes or ran around the house with my kids, or I built Legos because that was what was important to them. And then they realized, wow, mom thinks what's important to me is an important thing. I'm going to start listening to her because she is paying attention to me. And I've seen this happen over and over again with my children. Give them your time. It's not just quality, it's quantity. And also forgiveness. Wow, have I ever have to add a lot of forgiveness? I have a whole book on parenting anger. And let me tell you, forgiveness was a huge thing that needed to happen in my relationship with my children. And just showing them, I'm not perfect. I mess up. Please forgive me. Let's move on. And those types of things happening over time, they aren't going to happen instantly, but you build that relationship. And through this, you know, deschooling time, or maybe taking a step back, like during the holidays or whenever you have a break from school to really focus on that relationship, because oftentimes, even if you've been homeschooling for a while, it tends to get put on the back burner again, because again, that curriculum and everything that we think of as schooling starts to get in the way. And so that should be the most important thing that we focus on. So anyways, that's number one. Number two is advocacy and resources. And that may seem like a strange thing to lump together, because advocacy is being able to speak out what you need and to be able to let others know what you need. Well, as a homeschooling parent, especially with the child who struggles, there's a lot of times we need to ask for help. And a lot of times the first thing that I hear out of a parent's mouth when they start homeschooling a child that struggles is, what curriculum is best for me? What curriculum should I use? And that is really not the best thing to ask first. Yes, it is a good question to ask, but I want to take you through some steps that lead you to getting the best answer to that question and really asking yourself and really taking a deep look at what is it I need from a curriculum first before I start asking what curriculum's working for everyone else. So, instead of looking at all the curriculum options out there, because there's a lot of them, I want you to understand a little bit about your child and to study them. You are your child's expert, but a lot of times when we get focused on curriculum, we tend to start thinking about what's working for everybody else or what looks good to us from the outside. Yet, is it really workable in our home setting? In how school will actually function in our house and what my child is receptive to. So first of all, as the teacher, open up samples of curriculum. This is why it's good to go to conferences and to go through the vendor hall. If you can't, they're online. You'll be able to find different curriculums and look at the different pages. Some of them have interactive websites, but can you, as a teacher, use this material to actually teach? And that's an important question to ask, because I've actually spent money on curriculum that I never used because it was so confusing to use it. And so that is something that's really important and oftentimes a step that we miss as homeschooling educators. Then what does your schedule look like? Are you going to be able to do school every day of the week? Is this written in a way that you can fit this curriculum into your schedule? Is it flexible? Is it possible that you could do some activities one day or another? Or is it so detailed out written that it's almost scripted to a point that you have to follow everything to the T? And it would take a lot of extra planning to make it fit into your schedule. And so that may not be a good option for you. And then also, what types of input for your child, now this is the one we usually focus on, works best. And also remember, even if your child may like computers a whole lot, it may not be the best option for teaching them. I want to give you an example here. So my boys, now 22 and 20, love video games. So I thought teaching them typing using a video game would be the perfect method. Well, no, because typing is one of those skills that you have to do over and over and over again to be good at. Unfortunately, a video game, in my boy's eyes, was meant to be beat as quickly as possible so you could level up. So, taking a step back, we had to put away the video game to teach typing, and I bought one of those old books that they used to use in the high schools from the library that they were just getting rid of, and that taught my boys how to type. So yes, your child may have a favorite input method, but that input method may not be the best for instruction. So that's something to consider as well. And then also, if you have a child who's struggling, oftentimes there's other things that you need to fit into your schedule. Sometimes it's therapy, sometimes it's doctor's appointments, sometimes it's other things that are required in their schedule that that aren't required for most children. And so you need to take into consideration, how much time do I need to leave for these so that I'm not pushing through and scheduling too much during the week so that all these other things can also get done. And I think it's important too. A lot of parents also feel guilty. Well, we've got so much therapy and so many doctor's appointments, and or my child has a surgery scheduled, and that means we're going to have to take this much time off of school. That's school. That is something your child is learning through. It may be not book oriented. Sometimes it is, but it is an experience that they are going to learn something from and learn something through. And so don't discount that as a non-learning environment. Everything about life can be turned into school. It's just how you look at it. So now after you've kind of gone through and thought through all those different things, that's when we start saying, now I kind of have an idea of what I'm looking for as a teacher. I have an idea of what our schedule is going to fit well with a curriculum, as well as I know what might work best for my child. Now is when you go asking people what's worked for you, especially if they have a similar schedule, a similar type of personality to you as a teacher, or they have a child that's similar in their characteristics. Now, a lot of times we get asked when we're at conferences, my team and I, my child has this diagnosis, so what curriculum is best for them? Well, a child on the autism spectrum can have many different personalities and many different learning styles. The diagnosis doesn't really set what type of curriculum works best for a child. More does the personality of the child, as well as the schedule and their unique interests. So take all those things into consideration, not just the diagnoses as the end all be all. I know somebody who has a child on the autism spectrum, so therefore the curriculum they use must work for me. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of times it leads to a lot of failure and a lot of frustration. But the one things or the few things that we have learned over the years, my team and I, is that we have looked at curriculums and evaluated them. The things that we found in common of the curriculums that we found successful, and let me tell you, none of us use the same curriculum. It's that they're flexible. They have many options for different learning styles, and oftentimes help you to teach a child with multiple different learning style directions over the same topic. So that if one doesn't work, you can try the next one. Because oftentimes a struggling learner will need to learn a subject using multiple different learning modalities. So So that's just something to take into consideration too. And of course, you need to figure out if it's within your budget. A lot of times, before you even purchase a curriculum, go onto that curriculum's website, download their free samples, or call them and say, can I just get, you know, a couple pages of this just to try out with my child if they don't have free samples. You will learn a lot when you actually go hands-on, even for a couple days with the curriculum, if this is something that you are love, that you want to embrace and it will work well, or if there's no possible way that's going to work for you. So anyways, those are some great ways to kind of get in gently without making a huge investment that that didn't work out in the end and it's sitting on your shelf. So also, this is a huge one, especially for people new into the homeschooling realm, accredited curriculum. Most often, you will not need accredited curriculum, and you need to check with your state laws. Now, remember that every state has different homeschooling laws, so you need to check with those as well. But accredited curriculum is for a very, very small amount of homeschoolers. And so don't feel like, well, this curriculum isn't accredited, I can't use it. That's usually not the case. So be aware of that. And usually accredited curriculum is extremely expensive, and most do not work for struggling learners because they follow a specific timeline, and they actually make it more difficult on your student. Now, another resource are consultants. And consultants are amazing. I know because I used to be one. And I worked for two different state organizations as a consultant, both the Minnesota Association of Christian Home Educators, MASHE, as well as the Texas Homeschool Coalition, THSC. And so I was the person on the other end of the phone taking your call as a new homeschooler or a struggling mom that had been homeschooling for a while and hit a dead end. There are a lot of different organizations that offer free consultants. If you are a member of HSLDA, guess what? You have access to their struggling learner specialists all the time. And they will help you with a lot of different things. They can help you to read testing results, to put together IEP goals for your student. I'm not going to go into that at all, but starting... I wrote an article about 5 years ago for the Texas Homeschool Coalition about why parents should write IEPs for their homeschooled students, and it's becoming more prevalent since then because of some different entities and state organizations or education laws within states that are starting to require that for certain instances. And so if you find yourself needing an IEP, there are ways to do that. I'm not going to go into detail, but we do have a free download on our website that gives you a template for that. But consultants are one person that can help you to figure out what kind of goals should be on your child's IEP, what you should be writing on your child's IEP, and then also how to measure it. And so HSLDA and their consultants do that for their members. Also, there are other state organizations that have consultants that do that as well. And there are private consultants that we've partnered with in our organization that do that for a fee. So some parents feel like, this is somebody I need all the time, and they hire them on a regular basis. Other parents say, you know what? I just need them to get me going. They'll even go through curriculum with you. They'll go through all the stuff that I just went through earlier in my list of what you need to be looking at first before the curriculum. And they'll walk through you step by step, and they know all the curriculum that's out there. And they'll make suggestions for you about what would work best for you and your student. So there's some ways that a consultant would be really worth your time and money if you are just feeling that you're at an impasse as to how am I going to go beyond the deschooling part and actually into the schooling. And if you're feeling stuck, it's worth the investment to talk with somebody about that. So the last thing that I want to talk about with advocacy and resources is there are instructional materials for you as a teacher. And this is really important to understand. There are curriculum companies that actually have consultants on board who will help walk you through how to teach with their curriculum. And they're available when you buy their curriculum. And so so if that's something you feel like, this is what I could really use when I'm getting started because I don't even know how to teach, let me tell you, I wasn't a teacher either. So that's one thing to look at. Also, I do a weekly broadcast. I interview different professionals from all the different realms of teaching and different things. And we have how-to videos on our YouTube channel that will boggle your mind. But there's information out there for you as a parent, as a teacher, not just the resources for your child. And so dig into those. If your child is struggling with a certain subject, or you feel like they may have a sensory processing issue and you don't know what that is or even how to test for that, there's information out there. And so definitely take those resources and invest in yourself and invest in your homeschool by watching those videos or listening to those podcasts, because they will definitely help. Okay. So number three, I'm going to talk about learning tangents. Now, this is something that most people don't talk about in homeschooling, because if you have a child who doesn't struggle, you won't see the need for this. But this is where this concept came from, because I had so many parents coming to me and saying exactly this. Okay, so my child is struggling in this subject. Usually it was either math or reading. So I took away every single other subject that they were working on, and that's all that they have to do during the day, and they can't even do that. And I had to keep them laughing and say, I'm sorry, but if all you had to do, for me, it would be cleaning my house. I hate cleaning. If all I had to do in the day was to clean my house, and that's what I had to focus on all day long, I would roll over and go back to bed because that would be the thing that I don't want to do the most. So how do we get around this and actually help our child to push through the hard stuff? Well, you give them something that's fun. And so instead of taking away all the other subjects, add in a subject that you might not even think of as school that they would find great joy in. So what I did for my oldest was he loved building things, Legos. Okay, still at 22. Legos were what he looked forward to most at Christmas, and he does every year. But, well, he's going to be an engineer. He's graduating from college this next semester as an engineer. So I didn't know that, but in fifth grade, we decided that we would do a unit on mechanical engineering. And so he built different historical bridges with a Connect set as part of his school. Well, when he knew that that subject was on his to-do list, in addition to the reading that he really hated, he was able to push through the reading because that meant he got to do the building. And that's what he was looking forward to. So that's what I call a learning tangent, is that there is other things that your child is gifted at, and they may not be a subject that you would call school, but I encourage you to make it school and to make it be something that your child looks forward to in their day, and that you count it as school. And you'll find that even as your kids get older, and this is something that I've learned over the years, especially that my kids, when they went into high school, and I started seeing where they were headed versus just getting through all the academics of high school and plowing them through those subjects, because I have some very creative children, and they needed to not only focus on those subjects, but they also needed to really be prepared for what they wanted to do in their life? And was I doing them a service by plowing them through just the high school subjects and not giving them the chance in the safety of my home to explore what they were really good at? And so right now I've got a daughter that's building custom dresses in her room and taking apart lots of different other dresses to make them. And it's a mess, but she's learning a lot about herself and learning a lot about her interests and whether or not that's a career path she wants to follow. So I just encourage you is to allow those tangents to happen. Even when your child's young, they will, if they're struggling now, they will struggle later. And why wait to let them see what they can do with what they're good at? Because they may be struggling in one area and you just don't know how they may flourish in another. And so just encourage you to definitely follow those tangents, be willing to embrace them and allow them to be school and work with people that that can help your student to develop those skills as well. If you're not an expert in it, then find somebody who is. You know, I heard from one parent once that their child was interested in like some type of history. And so they found a club that was in their community, and it was, I think, a bunch of war buffs from World War II. And their 10-year-old son, who was so interested in this part of history, joined this group of old men that were talking about this history and brought new life to this group. So, and was able to build his interest even further and to learn from these gentlemen that maybe even had been in the war themselves. So just think of the learning opportunities that can come out of something like that. It is learning. It just may not look like we call school, and it may not come out of a textbook, but if you're willing to follow that path, that learning tangent that your child sets, and I'll let you know, I'm not an unschooler. We still have textbooks. We still do things that are normal curriculum, but allowing your child to also explore and find that their interests are just as important as the school subjects that that the state maybe considers important, it will just boost their confidence and help them to continue pressing on, again, through those hard things, because they are hard. And why not give them something that encourages them along the way? So another really difficult thing that many parents who homeschool go through and they lose their confidence about is they can't make a decision. And it isn't that they're not trying. I know, I've been here many times. It's just that there are so many expert opinions and there's so many people saying, this is working for me. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to at curriculum fairs that says, well, I just bought this because everybody else was buying it and then I never ended up using it. Don't get caught in that trap. Here's my advice. So whenever I would be on the other end of the phone with a parent who is saying, I just don't know. I don't know if this is the right decision. I don't know if I should do this or if I should do this. The question I would come back with all the time was, where's your peace? Do you have peace about this? If not, then it's probably not the path that God has in front of you that you should take. It's the one that leads you to peace is the one that will eventually be the right decision. And I know sometimes that is so, so hard because it sometimes doesn't look like the right decision, especially in the eyes of those people who are looking at us saying, are you doing the right thing? Maybe you should send your kid back to school. You're not the expert. And yet, I want to remind you that God created your child. He knows exactly what your child needs to learn, what they need to be equipped with before they leave your home or they transition into adulthood. And so lean on him, ask him, And if you're not getting any answer, wait. That's the hardest thing, because we often feel like, well, if I'm doing nothing, then I'm wasting time. Yes, that's something our culture is very good at telling us, is that we're wasting time. Well, we can go back again to the relationship part, that we're never wasting time when we spend time with our kids. But this is the flip side to not waiting. If we rush ahead and do the wrong thing, then we have pieces to pick up afterwards that we wouldn't have had to have picked up in the first place. We would have invested in something maybe that we really didn't need to invest in.
Peggy, can you hear me? Can you hear me? If you can hear me, nod your head. Because I totally lost your volume. I can't hear you. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I didn't change anything either. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do anything and she didn't do anything, but she can't hear either.
She can't.
It was like the Anne, you're going to hate me. I realized I totally forgot to record on that. But she can't hear me and I can't hear her. Like the volume just dropped out.
Okay. Hit end broadcast because you're still
live. I'm going to end. Hold on.